Decibel Geek Podcast with Aaron Camaro and Chris Sinzak.
Welcome back to the Decibel Geek Podcast. Yes, time once again for your favorite hard rock and heavy metal. We talk about it, we live it, we breathe it, we love it. I'm Aaron Camaro, joined as always by Chris Sinzak. Are you ready to rock?
Of course.
You're always ready to rock. And today, well, you guys know the story. We bust these out every so often. As it turns out, it's been a minute since we've done this.
Yeah.
What are we up to? 35. Volume 35 of the Radio Sucks radio show. Where does the show come from? The very, very beginning. Mm-hmm. The way the humble beginnings of Decibel Geek Podcast, where we talked about, you know, what kind of different things do you want to do? You know, we want to be a podcast that does the same exact thing every week. Do we want to change it up? We decided we wanted to change it up. We want to do something a little different every single week, have different themes, different ideas, things we could explore. But one thing we hit on right away at the very beginning is, like, what do we want to be with this podcast? Well, my idea always was, you know, because I was a Central Wisconsin famous rock DJ at one time, but there was parts about that job that I loved and parts that I hated. The part that I hated was not having free rein to put my own personality into my own show.
Yep.
A lot of times, well, pretty much all the time, you would have a list of things you were supposed to play. The poor guy doing the program director, he'd spend all this time putting together these playlists for me to play, and I would just totally dismantle them and play whatever the hell I wanted to play and get in big trouble for it and just take the browbeating for it and go right back to doing what I was doing because what I was doing was working. Yeah. When I'd play AC/DC, You Shook Me All Night Long, I'd get calls at the radio station that would say, why are you playing this? There are so many great AC/DC songs you could be playing. Why are you playing this one again?
Yeah.
On the other hand, when I play some obscure Kiss song, I'd get calls at the radio station going, oh my God, I can't believe you're playing this. This is amazing. I've never heard this on the radio before. And so then that's when I knew that, you know, having your own personality on a show works, you know, mm-hmm. and it makes that your show and you can reach out and instead of playing the same old over and over and over again, you throw something cool in there once in a while and people respond to it.
Yep.
So then we said, well, yeah, that's perfect. That's a perfect example of why we do a podcast versus, you know, what they do on radio.
Right.
So what do we call it? And we mulled it over and we thought about it. We needed something truly creative, something that really spoke to what we were trying to achieve with this theme. And it just seemed like it was perfect. The Radio Sucks radio show.
Yep. Coined by Aaron Camaro.
We're the DJs today.
Yes.
And we'll play whatever the hell we want.
I think you're going to like what we have for you today.
I think so too. So before we get to our awesome radio DJ playlists, as if we were, but we're not. We're proud to be podcasters. Before we get to that, we've got to take care of our business. Now, I know last week we didn't have any reviews or recommendations, but I got a feeling that today is going to be bad. No. Again?
Again.
This can't be right.
It's right. I checked twice.
No. I got to believe there's something wrong.
There's none.
There's, well, I see that.
There's no. I checked.
So basically what you're telling me is that when we release an episode and you're able to look and see how many people have downloaded and listened to said episode, the number is like way up here.
Yeah.
And then when we look at the number of reviews and recommendations that we have from hopefully from these same people that are loving and enjoying the show, that number is way down here somewhere.
Well, way down. Way down.
Oh, there. Way down further than
especially
that even.
The last 2 weeks.
What can we do to entice people to give us more reviews and recommendations? Because these things are important.
Sexual favors?
Got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
Well, I guess hit us up on the Facebook page and let us know what your preference is.
Yeah.
We'll see if we can accommodate.
Who do we have to blow first?
Just for a review. But,
yeah, come on,
but seriously,
guys.
Though, these iTunes reviews and stuff are really important because that basically, it works like when somebody, I'm sure everybody's related to this, you know, when you first discovered podcasts and you went through trying to find something like what we do.
Yeah.
And so you went your way through and you were looking at reviews and looking at different, you know, explanations of what different podcasts are. And you found ours and said, cool, you know, this is awesome. Or maybe you found an episode and then came around and looked at what else we had and said, great, you know, this sounds like it's right up my alley.
Yeah.
That's how that works. And if you, the more people we have to do that for us, the more chances we're going to reel in more awesome people. And then those people get involved on the Facebook page. And then the conversation and the whole community just grows, and it's awesome.
Yeah, we need you guys to spread the word.
But without iTunes reviews, we have nothing.
So we need iTunes reviews. If you don't like doing the iTunes thing, go to podchaser.com.
Yeah.
It's right there in your browser. Very easy to leave a review for us there.
Or you can do episode-to-episode reviews on that one.
Yeah, you can review actual episodes on that, which would be really cool to see. And then you could also go to Facebook and leave a recommendation.
Yeah.
I know you're all on Facebook.
Right. Most of you are. 99.9%, I got to think.
Yeah, so let's
I guess maybe it's good that we didn't get a review, because last week we kind of upset some people a little bit.
Apparently. Yeah. I knew we would.
Oh, man. I got to stand by my statement. The Beatles did just stand there and get screamed at.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And Bruce Springsteen, I don't know what it's going to take for me. Do we need to do a heavier side of Springsteen? Is that possible?
Only if Lee McCormick comes on the show, because he hosts a Bruce Springsteen podcast. But
that's right. Yeah. Lee loves the Springsteen.
He does. Yeah. That's his favorite artist, I believe.
I bet you we upset him with something fierce last week.
I don't know.
I feel bad about that. Because I never intend to down on anybody's favorite bands.
No.
When we're talking about, you know, something like that, it was so opinionated.
Oh, yeah.
And personal to each of us how we felt about all those artists that, you know, we're bound to hit somebody's favorite and not just love them the way that you might love them.
But
you know?
For the lack of reviews and recommendations, I will say I'm happy to see so much response on the Facebook page giving us their list. So it was some interesting choices out there. Stuff that, like, one guy even said fish. I was like, we have a listener that likes fish. I never expected that.
But, you know, that's one of them things.
I'm more of a meat and potatoes guy myself. But, you know.
What kind of fish are we talking about here? Walleye? You know?
Walleye.
Something like that? Some trout?
Yeah. But the people that I'm pretty sure did like the episode are the ones who shared on Facebook and retweeted on Twitter. That's our Geeks of the Week this week.
Yeah, Geeks of the Week. They loved last week's episode. All-time favorite live acts.
Yep.
Do stuff like that again in the future.
Sure.
Controversy. I like it.
Yeah, it was fun to do. And Geeks of the Week this week are Jason Smith, Dan Nation, Matt Ashcraft, Cobras and Fire Podcast, Mike Grabowski, Eric Sensek, that's my brother, Shay Hargett.
He's all our brothers.
He is. David Cathy, Kristen Schimbeck, Jay Sabluski, Bill Elam, the Bakery Podcast, Aaron Baker, Rodney Dixon, David Glenn, Brant Cattell, Todd Cunningham, Mikhail Burrell, Simon Catt, Daryl Alber, Robin the Hood, Christopher Stokes, Jeff Mendenhall, Twisted Kister, Tom Smoke, Coxie, Eladio, and of course,
the Mooger Fooger. That's right. Those are our people, our favorite people, our Geeks of the Week. They went out and shared last week's episode, retweeted it, got the word out there about what we're doing here on Decibel Geek, and now more people will listen to that, and either they'll be outraged and never listen to us again, or they might come back for this one and many, many more.
Yeah. Leave a review, damn it.
Yeah. While you're here loving it, take the time. Help us out. We'll love you for it.
So we ready to get some music?
Yeah. You ready to play rock DJ
in
a perfect world?
Coming in first. No, I'm not going to.
Do it.
No, you don't want to do that. Yeah.
Let me hear your best Wolfman Jack.
I'd have to smoke like way more cigarettes to pull that off.
You want to hear a quick funny radio story from back in the day before we kick this off? There was a point in my life where I was just trying to figure out what it meant to be a radio DJ, and I finally got my own show on the night shift where things were a little bit looser because nobody really was listening to the radio. They were all out doing things with their families as far as my bosses and stuff go, and that's why I was able to get away with so much chicanery of switching out the songs all the time. Most of the time, I wouldn't get caught. Every once in a while, I would.
Mm-hmm.
But I was doing this thing called Beg For It Wednesday.
Okay.
And people would call in, and they'd like, beg for your songs, you know, please play this, you know, and it was kind of dumb. So I was trying to figure out other things.
I like that.
And so then they said, you know, hey, why don't you do like a Tuesday night True Confessions?
Okay.
And I was like, ooh, what's this? You know, and they're like, well, if you do True Confessions, you get people to call up the radio station, you know, tell a cool story or something real quick, keep it nice, tight and short. Yeah. And then if they, you know, do that, you can pick a song.
Right.
They can play a song, you know, within reason, of course,
of course.
It's got to be on our playlist. Yeah. I say, all right, cool. So it starts out innocently enough, and then it goes a little further, and I'm letting it get worse and worse, and the stories are getting more vile. And people are really getting creative and dirty with it.
Yeah.
But I'm letting it go. Everything goes. You know, they want to hear their songs. They're telling me these crazy stories. You know, I'm going to do it. So I do. And one night, Jeff Cecil, who does the Poolside podcast, which is a hilarious new podcast I highly recommend you check out. A friend of his comes to him and says, you know, you should hear what I heard the other night. This guy has got these girls on the radio, and they're talking about doing a threesome with this guy they met at a concert, and it's crazy, and when it's all said and done, he plays their song for them.
Right.
So then, I guess the word starts getting out about some of the crazy shit that's going on my show at night, and I get called to the office.
Yeah.
And I get up there, and my boss is a guy named Steve Resnick, and the program director is Nick Summers. And so we're in there, and they're just letting me have it. You know, I'm young, real young in the radio business, real young in being a radio host. And so I really am just whatever goes. You know, I don't care. As long as I'm having fun and the people are digging it, it's whatever.
Right.
And so they take me up there. And my boss says to me, Steve says, I don't know who the hell you think you are, some kind of Howard Stern or something. And I was said to him, I always kind of pictured myself as more like a kind of like a Wolfman Jack. And they're like, no more Tuesday Night True Confessions. Get out of here. And I just put my head down and walked out of the office. But recently, in moving the studios, I found a cassette tape of some of these old bits.
Oh, I want
to
hear
of people calling in the radio station, telling their insane, filthy stories to get to hear their favorite Alice in Chains and Korn and stuff like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
We have to transfer this.
Yeah, definitely.
Digital.
That's what I'm thinking. I got to take it somewhere and get that to happen because I would totally release that to the VIPs.
Do you sound different on the tape?
I don't know. I don't have a cassette player. I haven't heard it in years.
Yeah, I'm excited to listen to that.
Yeah, me too. That should be fun.
How old were you when you were doing this?
Early 20s.
Yeah.
Yeah,
oh, man.
Early 20s. And I just applied for the job and got it. I had no business being there. I'll tell that story on the next Chris and Aaron show, how I got my job on radio, even though I had no business even applying for it.
That's great. All right, so I'm going to lead off the picks today. I'm going to play something, and we'll do a rock and pod plug in the middle of the episode. But if you don't know, Michael Sweet from Striper is going to be coming this year to Rock and Pod.
Shoot, yeah.
And we're super excited to have him, and there's going to be some interesting announcements about his appearance soon. I can't say it just yet, but pretty exciting. Anyway, I wanted to play a Striper tune, but I want to do something a little outside the box. I want to play something off the Against the Law album that came out on August 21st, 1990. It was their fifth release. If you weren't aware at the time, basically they were kind of getting saddled with the Christian label, I think, and getting a little fed up with... There was like a lot of Christians that were giving them a hard time about you guys aren't true Christians and blah, blah, blah. So they're kind of like, we need a break from this.
Right, and you got to remember the times of... I mean, the other bands that weren't Christian rock bands, you know, that were just of that genre, were going through a lot of hard changes too. So that's got to be double for Striper.
Yeah, I mean, I've watched interviews with Michael, and you know, it's a frustrating period of time where they were just kind of breaking out of their shell, and so they put this album together. And I mean, it fits in along with all the other Striper albums. It's not that far out of the box, but.
Is this Striper's Yelder?
No.
No?
I don't think they have an album.
No?
They don't
okay.
have an album that bad.
I always wonder with bands, like, is this their music from the Yelder album?
It's one of those things where I think a lot of people have never even heard the record, and they just assume that it's going to be way different, but it's got a lot of really good songs on it. It was put out on Enigma Records, produced by Tom Werman, who's, you know, worked with everybody. But some interesting notes on this album. You know, it's got Michael Sweet, Oz Fox, Tim Gaines, and Robert Sweet, the classic lineup.
Classic era.
But there's some additional musicians on here that I didn't realize. Like the lead single was Shining Star. It was a 70s cover.
Yeah.
And playing bass on that, Randy Jackson.
Really?
Yeah.
The guy from American Idol. Wow.
He was also with Journey for a little while, too.
That guy's such a metalhead.
And then on background vocals, Jeff Scott Soto.
He's everywhere.
He's everywhere. His discography has to be insane.
I would be more surprised if you told me Jeff Scott Soto didn't sing on an album.
Right, yeah. Here's one that he didn't sing on. But yeah, so leading off things, I love this song. This is Striper from Against the Law with a song called Two Time Woman.
Hey!
See, now, if I owned a radio station or was a part of a podcast, I'd put that in rotation.
Well, we just did.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, it works out perfectly. That's good stuff. I like that.
Yeah, I love that song. That's one of my favorite Striper tunes.
And it is kind of off topic of what you would expect out of Striper.
A little bit. But yeah, you know? But it fits along with their catalog.
But it doesn't really stray too far, because even a good Christian man shouldn't be putting up with a two-timing woman, right?
That's true.
So that works out.
Yep.
I like it. Not bad.
All right. So that's my first one. What do you got?
Well, I thought I'd tie this in. I don't know if you guys know this or not, but Chris and I made a special appearance recently on the Rock and or Roll podcast, where we discussed the awesomeness of Motley Crue's Dr. Feelgood album.
And some of the not-so-awesomeness.
And some of the awesomeness that nobody else seemed to recognize for its awesomeness.
Uh-huh.
Case in point, here today. You guys, you want to go check that out, because it was so much fun for us.
Spirited discussion.
Very spirited discussion. Like I said on the show, man, it just took me back to that time, because I was in junior high when Dr. Feelgood came out. And, man, did that album mean a lot to me. You know, it meant a lot to pretty much everybody that was around me. That was my age. You know, it was a time when... You know, it's not always cool to be a Motley Crue fan over the years. There's been times where it's been very uncool to say you like Motley Crue. But when Dr. Feelgood came out, it didn't matter if you were a jock, a preppy person, whatever you were. You know, whatever group or clique that you found yourself a part of as a young person, everybody loved Dr. Feelgood. Everybody had the cassette tape. I had the cassette tape. I wore that sucker out.
Yep.
And so in our discussion with BJ... These guys kind of beat up on me a little bit, because I am singing the praises of the song Sticky Sweet, which I think is just freaking awesome. I love that song so much.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are giving me a hard time about it.
With good reason.
I don't think so. So I guess we'll put this up to the listeners. I want to know on our Facebook page, are you with me, or if you're with Chris and BJ over the song Sticky Sweet? I say it's awesome. They say it's just some filler song it's whatever.
That's what it is.
It's what it is. I don't think so. I think it rules. So here's a quick reminder for you from Dr. Feelgood, the one and only Motley Crue. This one's Sticky Sweet. I love it.
I'm glad you do.
That song makes me feel so good. Just like the song. Oh, it's great. You know what's cool nowadays?
What's up?
It's cool to be a Motley Crue fan again.
Yeah?
Ever since the movie came out, I couldn't believe it. I actually had the radio on one day. I was like just running in between two places real quick. Didn't bother to set up the iPod or nothing. Just like whatever's on the radio, let's go.
Mm-hmm.
And the Motley Crue song, The Dirt.
Yeah, it's getting a lot of play.
It's on the actual radio. They're playing the new Motley Crue song on the radio. I thought, what the hell's going on
it's
here?
It's been a long time since that's happened.
Yeah, very long time.
Yeah.
Basically since Crew 94, really.
Yeah, because I don't even really remember anything from Saints of Los Angeles getting, I mean, maybe a barely when it first came out.
And I guess even Generation Swine when it first
came out. I don't remember anything
out.
Really.
I remember hearing Afraid on the radio, and I remember it being a big deal at Z104 before when I was a kid, before I ever worked there. You know, I listened to that. That was our local rock station. You know, that's where you'd go to hear, you know, rock music. And so I remember, like, the Generation Swine coming out. Well, first, 94 was a big deal.
Yeah.
And that got played. They played Hooligan's Holiday and made a big deal out of it.
And Misunderstood.
But it dropped off pretty quick.
Yeah, it didn't.
And then the same thing with Afraid with Generation Swine. It was a big deal, and they played it, but it dropped off pretty quick.
Yep.
I got a feeling with this one, it may have a little more to do with the movie.
Oh, totally. It has to do with
and this Machine Gun Kelly dude.
Yeah, because he's a
I think program directors really believe that young people just think this guy is awesome.
He was
and he may be.
He was great in the movie.
He was great in the movie.
So did you finally watch it?
Okay. Well, I liked it.
Well, yeah, real quick.
I liked it a lot. I knew what it was. I knew the length of it, so I knew it wasn't going to go too in-depth.
Right.
I liked, like, the first part, of course, the rise of Motley Crue. That's really awesome. That's the most part of the movie is the rise of Motley Crue, because the fall of Motley Crue gets squeezed in with a lot of stuff really quick. But that's okay. Who wants to, you know about the fall of Motley Crue? We want to know about the rise, you know, the fun days, you know. And so I think the actors all played their roles really well. Mm-hmm. You know, I like that they took the time to, you know, show each one's character, you know, because that's what makes that movie work is because what you're working with is four guys who are definite characters.
Sure.
Like, any one of those guys could have their own movie.
Yeah.
It makes it fun because you get all different perspectives. I think the guy that played Mick Mars was awesome.
Yeah,
I mean, he was funny.
He was the comic relief.
Even when he said, Kiss sucks.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, a lot of it was historically inaccurate.
Yeah.
But you know what? I can overlook that for what it was supposed to be, a good, fun movie. And it was fun, and I liked it a lot.
Cool.
And it's cool that it's brought Crue back into the forefront.
Yep.
It's a little scary that kids nowadays are going, wow, Motley Crue, these guys were awesome. Now they're all going to be as warped as we are.
Yeah, no shit.
Growing up on that stuff.
Yeah, I know we talked about it in depth a lot. But yeah, I enjoyed it. It's a fun watch. You just have to know what to expect from it. If you're expecting a deep dive into everything, you're not going to get it. They should have done a mini series and everything, but for an hour and a half, it's decent, you know.
And I think we can probably start expecting to see more of these movies for other bands, because once another band, say Kiss or Whitesnake or any of them, looks at this movie and goes, "Wow, this actually got kids talking about Motley Crue, got kids buying Motley Crue music, downloading it, I guess.
I know.
And, you know, going to seeing the movie, you know, buying music, bringing Crue back around, putting Crue back on the radio in 2019. Who the hell would have ever thought that? You know, other bands are going to start wanting to do this.
I think I heard something about a possible Poison one being made, too.
Yeah, see? And you know what? If a Netflix movie inspires any kids to go out there and pick up guitars and drums and bass guitars and learn how to play rock songs, I'm down with that.
Yeah.
Totally.
I'll take it.
There you go. Sticky Sweet. Kicks ass. Everybody knows it.
Moving on. All right. So my next one, this is really the only new song that I'm going to play today. I'm kind of sticking to the old favorites today, but old favorites are members of this band. This is a super group called Hollywood Vampires, and it's made up of Alice Cooper, Johnny Depp, and Joe Perry, you know, along with some other touring members have included Duff McKagan, Matt Sorum, and Robert DeLeo from Stone Temple Pilots. The name comes from a celebrity drinking club formed by Alice Cooper in the 70s, which included but was not limited to John Lennon, Ringo Starr, Keith Moon, Mickey Dolenz, you know, just basically anyone.
And that all took place up in like the private room at the Rainbow in L.A., right?
Yep. They had like their own little drinking loft, and they would sit up there and hang out.
To be a fly on the wall
for that.
Oh, man,
the stories that must have come from that.
Amazing.
But it's an interesting project, and, I mean, they've done a lot of touring, and, you know, it's an amazing lineup of musicians, and, you know, you know, a lot of people might think Johnny Depp's a weird factor in this, but you know, he used to be in bands. He's a musician and he's a big appreciator of a lot of these artists.
Oh, totally.
So, I, you know, initially didn't plan on playing anything from them, but I just heard this the other day. It's a new song from the upcoming album Rise. I think it comes out in June. And interesting song. I want you to check it out, and I want Aaron's response to this. This is a track called Who's Laughing Now.
Is freaking cool.
I like it.
Oh, I like that a lot.
It sounds better than what you usually hear out of supergroups.
Right, yeah. And it's not just sticking to one guy or the other guy's style. It's kind of creating something new. And I mean, I like that a lot. I had no idea they had a new album coming out.
Yeah, I just heard about it the other day. So, yeah, this really piques my interest to hear what the rest of it's going to sound
like. For sure, for sure. And like you told me, you know, it's like Alice Cooper sounds great. The song is cool and different. It kind of reminds me like a Queens of the Stone Age kind of.
The riff is very similar to that, to the Queens of the Stone Age.
And it's, you hear Johnny Depp doing a little singing in there, and he sounds cool. And like you said, Johnny Depp, he's been a rocker from day one. He just happened to, you know, the movie thing took off for him before the rock star thing did. So now is his chance to come back and relive the life that he maybe missed out on.
Yeah.
And I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing more of that.
You know what else I'm looking forward to?
What's that?
This Friday.
What's happening this Friday?
This Friday night, Nashville, Tennessee, the Marathon Music Works, the Spaceman and his awesome band.
Tommy Thayer's coming here?
Get out. Get the fuck out of here right now with that shit. And that's how the Decibel Geek podcast ended.
Yeah, we're done. No reviews and an insult to Ace Frehley. It's over.
Oh, man.
All I got to do is say, fuck Ugly Kid Joe, and we're never talking again.
No, that's over now. Welcome to the Aaron Show. Yeah. Chris just hit the fucking bricks.
Camaro's cutout bed every single week.
Guess what? I had 5 picks. Now I have 10. This is going to be great. Asshole.
Sorry.
Fuck no, dude. Ace Frehley's coming to town, and you damn know it.
I'm going with you.
You better. You better get your ticket.
Yeah.
You know when I got mine? The day before they went on sale.
I assumed you would.
I ain't messing around, man. I got to go see the Spaceman, especially now that he's playing with Ryan and Phil and Jeremy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
I'm excited to see them play with him.
Me too. I am so excited. I don't know if you know this about me, but Ace Frehley's my dude.
Like, I have no idea.
If I had to like give up everybody else, every other band, I'd keep Ace Frehley because that's my guy.
That's high praise.
If I had a son, I would name him after Ace
Frehley. If you had a son? You disowned him already.
I disowned him. You know, someday when I have a son again,
you're going to name him Ace also.
His name will be Ace.
Okay.
Hopefully still. But I always used to get a kick when I worked on the radio playing something by Ace Frehley because, you know what? Radio, I don't think, has ever played Ace Frehley. I've never heard Ace Frehley on the radio except when I was a DJ and I was the one sneaking it in.
I don't think I've ever heard it. Well,
I think the closest
maybe Rock Soldiers.
Maybe Rock Soldiers, but I don't think I ever heard it on the radio.
No. Yeah, I can't think of anything.
Because I had to buy that. Yeah, I bought that with my own money on LP when I was very, very young and was so excited for it. Because Ace Frehley was my guy. He was my dude. And he'd been gone out of Kiss for a long time. And back then, before internet and all that, I didn't know what the hell happened to him. Right. You know, all of a sudden, one day I look and, you know, I'm catching up on Kiss records and, like, who's this? Vinnie Vincent. Who the hell is that? Bruce Kulick, Mark St. John. Who the hell are these guys? And where's my Ace Frehley? You know, well, Ace Frehley's not in Kiss anymore. Where the hell is he? Nobody really knows.
He's on the floor.
Except for Joe Renda. Yeah, he's over there in the corner.
I think we should all take a moment to appreciate that Ace Frehley is still alive.
Shit, yeah.
That's the biggest miracle of all.
And kicking ass on top of it all.
Very happy for his sobriety.
Yeah, that's very cool. I was watching this cool thing the other day. It was, it must be Revolver Magazine, but they did this thing where they had a contest where this guy won, and so he got to hang out and talk to Ace while he was getting an Ace Frehley tattoo.
I saw that. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
You know one thing I learned from that I never knew before?
What's that?
Ace's little tattoo of his name and Paul Stanley's little rose on his arm.
Yeah.
They got those at the same time.
Yeah.
They're like tattoo brothers like that.
Yeah, the guy that did it, Lyle Tuttle, was like a very famous tattoo artist.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's very cool. I never knew
that. I didn't know about Ace's tattoo being done at the same time.
Yep. And then he talked about his other tattoo with the dragon holding the Les Paul and talked about all kinds of cool stuff with that guy. And that dude's sitting there getting a badass Ace Frehley tattoo.
Yeah.
So cool. I love that.
That's a good idea for a contest.
I'm super, super excited. And I've said this probably 100 times before on this show that he's playing with our boys from here in Nashville, the Rock and Roll Residency, because these guys have already brought songs out of Ace, just like they did for Gene, that you'd never expect. And these guys are rock and rollers, so they rock those songs out. So it gives me hope to hear some of my favorite songs by Ace that you don't really get to hear a lot.
Yeah.
Here's one. That, man, I've always loved it. And talking about that first Frehley's Comet album and being so excited to get it just to learn that it was out there. Ace Frehley's back and he's got new music and he sings on many of these songs on this album.
Mm-hmm.
I was so excited when I got this, and this was probably always my favorite song off that first Frehley's Comet album. This is a great one. Crank it up nice and loud and just get your mind blown by the solo. This is Frehley's Comet with Stranger in a Strange Land.
I got a feeling inside.
Never get enough of that.
Yeah, I've played that on the show in the past myself.
Yeah, well, good.
We both agree on that one, unlike other Motley Crue songs.
Whatever, dude.
But, yeah, no, that's a fantastic song. I'd love to hear him do that one live.
Shoot, yeah, man. That'd be great.
Yeah.
And with Ryan and those guys in there, mm-hmm. Phil and Jeremy, they can play anything.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They already practiced this song or just ready for the night that he says, well, what about this song? Yep, we know it. What about that one? Yep, we know it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he's got them in the band.
Oh, yeah, they're walking
encyclopedias. You've seen how awesome they were for Gene.
Material.
You know, name a song. They can play it.
Oh,
awesome.
Yeah. I think they could probably play anything in the Kiss catalog.
Yep. It's going to be exciting Friday night because he's headlining and he's got all the time in the world to play all those awesome songs.
Yeah, it'd be an interesting show. We'll have to do a show review.
Most definitely. Yeah. Oh, you know we will.
Cool. So I got one more pick and then we'll go into the break. I want to play, there's been some news lately about Aerosmith. You know, there's some health issues or something going on there. Like Joe Perry, they're doing a Vegas residency now, and they were playing Living on the Edge the other night, and Joe Perry was just fucking up the guitar parts all over the place.
Really?
And like people are like, what's going on with Joe Perry? You know, he's had some serious health issues the last year, and he's also in Hollywood Vampires.
I was just going to ask, did he play on this most recent, or does he play on
Yeah, that's him on guitar.
Okay.
But he's had some like heart problems and stuff, and then he looked very out of sorts at the thing in Vegas, so you know, wishing him the best. And then also I heard that Joey Kramer's missed a couple of shows too. So dang. I don't know what's going on with him, but all these guys are getting older. So, right. So if you can go see these people live, you should do it while you can.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, you know, Aerosmith's been around like very long time. So, yeah, definitely check them out. But yeah, I just felt like it was like, they just kind of gave me the idea. I should play some Aerosmith. And, there's so many great Aerosmith songs, and I just kind of spun the wheel and picked it random, and I had to make sure it was something I like. I'm not going to be playing any Just Push Play material today.
oh, good.
Thought I'd play something off of Rocks, which was the fourth studio album released May 3rd, 1976. This is one of the greatest hard rock records ever released.
For sure.
Produced by Jack Douglas and Aerosmith. You know, you guys know. There's a ton of amazing songs on this, but you know how we are. We try to play the little bit lesser known stuff, but this song is great nonetheless. This is a great song called Lickin' a Promise.
With that, you can't go wrong with anything off of Rocks.
No,
I love it.
It rocks.
And if I heard Lickin' a Promise on the radio when I was driving down the street and that just came up between an Eagles song and a Stone song that I've heard a million times, I'd be like, hell to the yeah.
Yeah, I love that song.
I'd say I love this radio station. They're doing something good here.
Yeah, sounds like Decibel Geek.
Good thing you got podcasts. Good thing you got us. Well, I guess we'll take a quick break. I mean, we got to talk about what's coming up, and that's our huge party, the rock and roll party of the summer, and it happens right here in Nashville on August 9th and 10th. Well, the expo itself, the Rockin' Pod, is what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. That's on the 10th. But, well, of course, we got a cool party and stuff going on the night before, and there's all kinds of cool stuff going on all around it. We got awesome guests. Get us up to date on what's going on with Rockin' Pod.
Rockin' Pod Expo, pre-party Friday, August 9th, the Rock and Roll Residency, along with a band called 8-Ball. And I have the next band I haven't announced just yet, so I'll hold off on that. But we have three bands that are going to be entertaining you that night. The residency is going to do a full 2-hour set. There's going to be lots of guests jumping up on stage with them, which is what.
So there's even more than residency, 8-Ball, and Generation or Lipstick.
Oh, did
Generation?
I already mention Generation? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We talked about that last week.
I'm sorry.
You already let the cat out of the bag on that one.
Okay. So those are the three bands.
That's good.
And but yeah, we have. There's going to be it's going to be a very unique show because the residency is going to have several of the expo guests get up and do songs with them.
Right.
And, you know, we'll put pieces together as we go. But
so if you've ever had the opportunity to see what the Rock and Roll Residency does here in Nashville, mm-hmm. is they put on these great shows. They're all awesome, talented musicians. They can all sing and they're amazing and they can do anything. Yeah. So they bust out all these awesome tunes. But in the meantime, they have special guests come up on stage with them. We've seen them play with some amazing people just pop up on stage. We've seen them play with Alice Cooper. We've seen him play with Paul Stanley's son, you know, and all kinds of other really awesome people have joined them on stage. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of their thing. Because they're so knowledgeable, because they're so talented, because they're so damn good, they can keep up with anybody.
Right.
So whoever's in the crowd, if you're somebody that's awesome and people want to see you up there, you can get up on stage and say, hey, let's do this song. And they go, yeah, we know that one. And they bust it out. Mm-hmm. So that's what makes it so cool, because they're not just awesome on their own. They can play with anybody.
Yeah.
And guess what? At Rockin' Pod, there's going to be a lot of really cool people that are going to be hanging out that could just go up on stage and say, hey, do you know this one? We're the Rock and Roll Residency. Of course we know that one. 1, 2, 3, 4. Boom. Yeah. There they go. You know?
Yeah, there's going to be some amazing performances. And
so think about some of the guests that we have coming and the opportunity to see them hop up on stage in a very unique situation where you may not be seeing them with their band, but you might be seeing something special that you've never seen before and will never have the opportunity to see again.
And guests that we have for the expo include Michael Sweet from Striper, Brian Forsyth from Kix, Jason Bieler from Saigon Kick, Rick Rule from Every Mother's Nightmare. I'm going to start forgetting people, but just a ton of people. Like, make sure you go. And the guys from Wildside.
Yeah.
Erie Vaughn from Danzig. Jeremy Barber from Green Jello. Steve Barnett from Pump 5. And I have more that I'm working on, so we're not done yet.
Right. So just the list of names so far. Can you imagine Michael Sweet jumping up and doing something really cool, really different? You Jason Bieler hopping up there, maybe busting out some Saigon Kick and something else really cool. Yeah. Brian Forsyth, I've said it last week, he wants to get up and play with these guys.
I mean,
you can hear some Kick songs. You don't think Phil can sing Kicks? You're out of your mind. He can bust that out for you.
So that's going to be, if you want to come, it's going to benefit you to come for both days, because the show the night before is going to be off the hook. And then the expo, all those guests, we're going to have panel discussions, vinyl vendors, merchant memorabilia vendors. We're going to have cosplay. We might even have a tattoo artist on site. I'm working on that.
All right. I'll get an Ace Frehley tattoo if you can get Ace to show up and let me talk to him while I get it.
I'll see if I can afford it. And then, of course, dozens of podcasters from all over North America recording on site. And we're going to have another room with live podcasting sessions going on, being recorded all day.
Mm-hmm.
You never know who's going to pop up at Rockin' Pod. So it's going to be seriously fun day. So I really hope you'll come.
I mean, that one year we were hanging out and I turn around looking, wow, it's Raven.
Yeah, Raven showed up.
They weren't even scheduled to be here, but here they are. They're like, wow, we're in town and all the cool people are over here at this Rockin' Pod Expo, and so let's go visit our friends there.
Yep.
So people that aren't even guests seem to show up at this thing.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden you got Raven fans going, oh wow, I got a Raven record. Will you sign this for me? You know, like, I just bought it over there from the music vendors, and I'm now bringing it over here, getting it signed by Raven, who I didn't even know was going to be here.
Yeah, it's
amazing.
It's that way every year. We have
it's
people
amazing,
show up out of nowhere.
Magical thing, this Rockin' Pod.
So just more information, go to rockinpod.com. But also, we have a discounted hotel because it's at Nashville Airport Marriott.
Yes.
It's at a hotel. We have a big ballroom there. Got a great bar and grill there.
Yeah.
So it would benefit you to just stay on site. And we have a discounted block of room. So
absolutely. So you
that's on the website too.
You go to rockinpod.com, you grab your discounted rooms, and then you know that you're good to go, because you can go Friday night, you can party with the Rock and Roll Residency and all these other cool people. We're all going to be hanging out in our own kind of private area. You know, it's not like we're at a club downtown where everybody else that don't care about what's going on around them are hanging out at. This is just for us.
Yeah.
So all the coolest people are going to be just down there hanging out, and you're going to be able to hang out with them. And then you party, you have a good time, you stay up late hanging out with your favorite rock stars, and then you just hop on that elevator, take it up to your room, and you get some Z's. And then you wake up in the next morning, and boom, it's time for the real deal, the Rockin' Pod Expo. You make your way back down that elevator, and you look outside. There's all your friends. Once again, all the people you hung out with last night, and they're out there doing their thing at Rockin' Pod, and you could be a part of that. So come on. What are you waiting for? Go to rockinpod.com right now and get those hotel rooms and join us in Nashville.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun.
It's the rock and roll party of the summer, man. Every single year so far, nobody does it like we do.
Yeah.
You know it. Come, you know you're going to have fun.
Come join us and make a weekend of it. We're excited to have everybody in town.
Heck yes. You ready to get back to the rock and roll?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Talking about Rock and Pod Expo, I thought this would be a nice tie-in for that because we've been talking about the Rock and Roll Residency and how we're so excited to have them be a part of this. We're going to get to see them this Friday night playing with Ace Frehley, but we can't wait until August when they're partying it up with us at the pre-party for the Rock and Pod Expo. So I thought I'd go back for this one. This is a band that I think I kind of introduce the world to sometimes with Decibel Geek Podcast, because when I first talked about this band, nobody seemed to know who they were. They're a huge part of my life, especially back in my radio days. This was Central Wisconsin's number one most popular band in the whole dang world at one time. And I brought it up here on the Decibel Geek Podcast, and first people said I never heard of it, and then people said, wow, where do I get more of this? The band I'm talking about is Hair of the Dog. Ryan Cook, who's part of the Gene Simmons Band, part of the Ace Frehley Band, part of the Rock and Roll Residency, part of Rock and Pod Expo,
yep,
is the man in this band. Ryan Cook, Hair of the Dog. This one's awesome because it's off an album called Rise, which was also produced by our other main man, Michael Wagner.
That's right.
It's a Decibel Geek party all over this album. I love it. And this is a great one. This is a song that you listen to maybe while you're at work, getting to be almost towards the end of your shift. It's almost time to go home. Put this in, crank it up, and you will feel good. This is Hair of the Dog off the album Rise, and this is a tune called 529.
Doesn't matter. 29 to 5, 'cause
it's definitely going to be party time at the Rockin' Pod Expo. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, I love that. I don't think I've ever heard a bad Hair of the Dog song. Everything you've ever played for.
There's a secret to that.
What's that?
There are no bad Hair of the Dog songs.
That makes sense. But yeah, what a great band. Just good stuff.
Love it. And I'm so excited. And it's just so cool because, like I said, Hair of the Dog, it was just one of those weird cosmic things. You know, they came up and played in central Wisconsin. If you guys go way back in the archives, you can hear Ryan and John Spettis tell the story themselves about how that all came to be, mm-hmm. how they just kind of fell into becoming superstars in this one pocket of Wisconsin, where I remember going to the local record store and they'd have like the album chart of what was selling the best in that store. Mm-hmm. I remember looking at it and going, oh, wow, number one, Hair of the Dog.
Wow.
Number two, Alice in Chains. Number three, Pearl Jam. Number four, Stone Temple Pilots.
That's wild.
And going, man, that's freaking awesome. Because they came up there and they ruled the world. And then full circle all these years later after, you know, losing track with those guys.
Yeah.
And to find out Ryan Cook's living here in Nashville.
Yeah, and I met him at a Tom Kiefer show right after you had played a song on the show of theirs. And our friend David Stone just introduced me. He was like, here's Ryan and Jeremy. And he's like, this is Ryan Cook. And I'm like, Ryan from Hair of the Dog? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, Holt, this is the craziest thing.
Because that's probably what he was
talking about
too.
You a week ago. Yeah, he was just like, what? Yeah, that was like a cosmic connection.
Yeah,
so weird.
Very cosmic. And then, you know, become great friends with the guy. And, yeah. And it's just awesome. It's so cool how that works out sometimes that way. But, and then here he is, he's going to be, you know, with the Rock and Roll Residency. I mean, and even back then, you know, to think if I could have a time machine and go back to, you know, the early 2000s in central Wisconsin and Ryan Cook's playing with Hair of the Dog and to go to him and be like, someday you're going to be in the Gene Simmons band.
Yeah.
And you're also going to be in the Ace Frehley band. He'd be like, what? No way.
Yeah.
And then now look at him today.
Yeah.
Someday. You're going to be the dude holding it all together for the Rockin' Pod pre-party.
Yeah.
He'll be like, what the hell are you talking about?
Yeah, he's going to be like, what is that?
It's going to be great. Trust me.
Yeah.
And they're going to get back to my time machine.
And they'll be at the expo with their own booth, too.
Right,
so
yeah.
They're going to hang out all day. So
you'll get to meet the Gene Simmons / Ace Frehley band as well.
Yeah. I'm so happy that they're coming.
Because
they're
part of the KISS family tree now.
And they've been out of town for the last 2 years. Every year they're like, damn it, I wish we could. You always schedule this when we're out of overseas or whatever.
Oh, so, Gene or Ace calls, man. They got to go.
Oh, God. Let's not even think about that.
No. Well, Gene's busy and Ace, you can just come with.
Yeah. Oh, that would be
nice. Just come with and hang out. You don't even have to be announced. Just show up.
Right. So, getting a lot of my picks this week out of, you know, recent news stories I've seen, and this was no exception because I don't know if you heard about this or not, but the other day, I think it was, I don't know, I just kind of saw the headline, but I didn't actually get to really read up on it. But apparently the other day, Charlie Benante and John Bush got together on stage and played Room for One More.
Oh, really?
From Anthrax.
Oh, I love that song.
And I think maybe it was like a Metal Allegiance show or something like that.
Off of Sound of White Noise.
Sound of White Noise. So I thought that was pretty cool. And
that's super cool.
I love Joey Belladonna, but I will always be partial to the John Bush era of the band. That's just my favorite era of the band.
I guess, again, that was kind of like, that was our Anthrax. You know, I remember being so excited about Sound of White Noise coming out because I knew Anthrax, but I wasn't like super into them, but I knew of them.
My best friend Wes was a massive fan of the Belladonna era.
Yeah.
So I knew, I was very familiar with them and I liked them.
Right.
But when they brought Bush in, I just thought it made them into something different that I liked even more. And they just put out so much amazing material with him, even though their popularity was not near what it was. I think they did some of their best work with him. And so my next pick is off my favorite. Sound of White Noise is tough to beat, but if I had to pick an alternate to that, We've Come For You All is the next one.
Oh, it's good.
It came out May 6, 2003 on Nuclear Blast. And this was the first record to feature Rob Caggiano on lead guitar. And it was John Bush's last record. And honestly, I think this was the most cohesive version of that, of the Bush era band. And I love what they did on this album. There's not a bad song on this. Well, Safe Home, maybe not so much. But most of this record is really, really great. And wanted to pick something off of it because it didn't get a lot of shine back in the day. So this is Anthrax from We've Come For You All with Refuse to Be Denied.
that's good stuff.
That whole album is amazing.
The radio truly lacks Anthrax.
Yeah.
Why couldn't you play that?
I don't know.
That's good.
Should have been a much bigger band, you know. And they're still out there doing it today. They got Joey back, and Joey's great. Now, I Worship Music, I thought, was a fantastic record.
Yeah,
you know, I can't say enough good things about Anthrax.
Right, you'll say I'd love to see them get back together with John Bush, but then you say, oh, but I don't want them to stop what they're doing with Joey. You know,
if they would do a tour with both of them. And do like a 3-hour show, an hour and a half with each singer.
Haven't they done something like that before?
No, not live, I don't think. I think that they were talking about doing it, but it didn't pan out. But they did do, they've done some, I know they at least did the Ball of Confusion Temptations cover with both singers.
That's right. That was cool.
But I don't know. I think that may have been where it ended. I don't know if they ever went any further than that. I can't remember if they did any shows together. I don't think they did.
That'd be pretty wild. Has a band ever done that before? Go out on the road with two different singers, but the band stays out for the whole thing?
But you just
switch back and forth? Come out, Joey do a song, and then and step out. And John Bush comes out, you do a song.
I would love that.
Step back out. Joey comes back out, or do two or three and then switch. Two or three.
No, I would love to see that.
That'd be super cool. Yeah. I would like to see that too.
Yeah.
The best of both worlds.
Yep.
I like it. All right. So, I was just going through. I was listening to the iPod and, just checking stuff out and listening to music and trying to figure out what to pick. And did I see that Love Hate is going to be opening for the Dio Hologram? Is that real?
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah. Looks like that's what's going on.
Oh, man. I don't know about the Dio Hologram, but I sure do know that I love Love Hate. Love Hate's been one of my favorite bands as long as I can remember hearing them. My buddy Jason had the cassette tapes, and at first I was like, wow, this guy's voice is way out there. You know, it's hard to wrap my mind around, but the more I listened to it, the more I loved it, and I realized how unique and powerful of a vocalist that Jizzy Pearl is.
Mm-hmm.
Between all the old school Love Hate stuff, all his solo stuff, the latest album that came out, man, I love it all. He's one of the best songwriters, I think. All around awesome. Just kicks ass, and I can never sing the praises of Jizzy Pearl and Love Hate enough, because to me, this is a band that, they were coming up at that time when everything was falling down.
Yep.
But they were so damn good. I still can't understand how they weren't able to overcome that and still make something, you know. Because, they're always moderately popular.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the demand for them to come back has always been there. Jizzy Pearl still does all right for himself when he does solo stuff.
Right.
And I got to imagine that new Jizzy Pearl Love Hate album had to have done pretty good.
I would think so.
Because people have been waiting for that for quite a long time, you know, and then it finally happened, which is great. And like, it was my number two album last year when we did our year-end review. And I think between it and the Hank Von Hell album, those are the two I really go back to the most from last year. And I think the Jizzy Pearl one is probably number one.
Hmm.
But I thought I'd go back some old school stuff. This one comes off the album Let's Rumble, which is without a doubt 100% my very favorite Love Hate album. It's got so many good songs on it, so many different styles all squeezed into one album, but it all kicks ass and it all rocks. And this is one of my all-time favorite songs. You got to crank this one real loud, and if you don't start tapping your foot or maybe pumping your fist, you might want to check your pulse, because this one's just killer. And it's a tune called Spinning Wheel.
Say you are a dancer. Yeah.
think the Dio hologram should be opening for Love Hate, damn it.
I would agree with you there.
I think most people might agree with that.
Oh, man.
You're a huge Dio fan. You love the hologram. That's great. Yeah. What you're really going to love is the opening band. So get there early and pay a little extra attention. Because if you don't know about Love Hate, you go see them live. You're probably going to want to go hunt down these albums. And nowadays, other than the brand new one, they're kind of hard to find.
Yeah.
So good luck.
Well, at least you're getting some bang for your buck with going to that show.
And if anybody's got an extra CD copy of Living Off Layla laying around, I'll take it because I can't find that sucker nowhere. That's the holy grail of my Love-Hate Jizzy Pearl collection.
Oh, really?
And I can't find it nowhere.
Huh. Not out of print, huh?
Gone.
Hmm.
I don't think it barely ever got into print, to be honest with you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Burned on a CDR?
It was the last of the old school Love Hate albums.
Gotcha.
And I'm told it's one of their worst, but I'm just dying to hear it.
But you at least want to hear it.
Yeah. There's not a lot online about it. You know, you can't really find it nowhere.
Huh.
If somebody's got an extra copy of that, you let me know, because I will gladly take that off your hands. I'd love to hear it.
Cool. So I got one more pick, and also, you know, taking mine from the headlines again, on a sad note, we lost Paul Raymond a couple of weeks ago, the original member of UFO. And, you know, his contributions to music are pretty well known. But if you didn't know, he was part of UFO, Michael Schenker Group, also with Pete Way and Wasted.
Yeah.
And a lot of great material out of all three bands. So I wanted to play something kind of in honor of him. And I got to tip my hat to Lonnie from Metalworks, because he played stuff from throughout Paul's career on his show. And this song kind of re-got my attention because I hadn't heard it in so long.
You know, for as much smack as we talk about radio, we always got to remind everybody that we have something here in Nashville that only happens for a couple of hours on a Saturday night.
Yeah.
And we've talked about it on the show before because Lonnie runs this show called Metalworks.
Yeah.
And he has free reign for like 2 hours on Saturday night to play whatever he wants.
And it's always good.
And it's always good because this guy is just like us. Yep. I mean, he could be a third guy sitting here on Decibel Geek and would fit in perfectly.
We need to
invite
him on sometime.
You guys would love him. We've talked about having him on before. We've talked to him about having him on before. He'd be like, oh, I don't know if your listeners would like me. Lonnie, shut up. They would love you.
You're great.
they would probably say you need this guy on every week, I would guess, because he is so much like us. And we get along with him so good because we all have that love in our hearts for this kind of music. But Lonnie gets to do it on the radio.
Yeah.
So if you're out there on a Saturday night and you want to stream some radio, check out 105.9 The Rock here in Nashville. Look for Metalworks on Saturday night. And you will see that when we say radio sucks, we're only 99.9% right, because Lonnie is the exception.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, he was playing a lot of great stuff last week. And this song was one of them. So it's a song off the second album by Michael Schenker Group, just called MSG, produced by Ron Nevison. You got Gary Barden on vocals, Michael Schenker, of course, on guitar, Paul Raymond on keyboard and rhythm guitar, Chris Glenn on bass, and the also missed Cozy Powell on drums. Just a phenomenal lineup. And this song, he played it on the radio. I was like, God, I forgot how much ass this song kicks. This is Michael Schenker Group with a song called On and On.
Yeah.
rest in peace, Paul Raymond.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, Michael Schenker, he's kind of, I think he's a little underrated. It seems like when I was a kid, like in junior high, reading the magazines and stuff, like you'd see pictures of him with his white flying V, you know, and he was like revered as like a guitar hero.
Yeah.
But nowadays, he just doesn't get brought up in conversation that much
anymore as
you would think that he would and that he did at one time. So
yeah, he was incredible.
It's good for you to play some of that, you know, and it'd be cool for radio to play some of that so that maybe somebody would hear that and go, whoa, listen to that guitar player. You know, who is that? I want to know more about it. Like we did when we were kids.
And also Gary Barden, you know, the first singer for Michael Schenker Group. He's like a really unsung hero to me as far as rock vocalist from that era. Just an amazing singer.
You know? Yeah, I think people need to give MSG more of a chance because it's not their fault because radio never played that for them. They let us down.
Yeah, they did.
Mm-mm-mm. Well, good thing you got podcasts.
Yep. So that's all mine for today.
Okay. Well, I've just got one to end the show with. You got anything you want to talk about before we get out of here?
Just buy your Rock and Pod tickets, book your room, check us out on Patreon, sign up for VIP. We got Torpedo Dudes, our KISS podcast.
That's right.
You know, it's...
We just recorded one of them.
We did. And yeah, a lot of stuff in the works, you know. We're always busy.
Been doing this for over 8 years now. We're still around.
We're officially past eight years now.
We've never taken no big sabbaticals. We've been here pretty much week after week after week for 8 years. When we made that commitment way back in the day, we stuck it out. And what makes us stick it out? The power of rock and roll, you know? Yeah. So that's why we're here, and that's why we're not going nowhere.
Right.
So as always, you'll find the links to everything you've heard today in the show notes. Get out there, buy the music, support the bands. When they come to your town, go see them. That's really what this is. It's just a big old infomercial for rock and roll. You figured us out. So, you ready to wrap this up?
Yeah, let's do it.
Radio sucks. You know why?
Huh.
They don't play no freaking Motorhead. Hit it, Lemmy.
I've been waiting for you for hours, babe, and you're still laying here. Waiting, hanging on the phone. It feels like 100 years.